Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Today, our guest is Nick. So, Nick, let us know who you are and what you do.
Sure. Nick Silicato, based out of New Jersey. I have two companies, a packaging supply company called Centric Packaging and a software company that has a lot to do with packaging and the packaging process called Greenlink. So, yeah, those are the two companies we'll talk about today, other than myself, of course.
Yeah, that's good. So what was the inspiration behind the scene to start this business of packaging and eventually the software development as well?
Sure. Yeah. So about 3 years ago, I was actually in the software world, had left packaging sales to go into software sales and really realized that I enjoyed being in front of customers physically and selling tangible objects. So when I was selling SaaS solutions and things like that, it was a lot of Zoom calls. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there is an energy that I got when I was in a warehouse, you know, in a distribution facility, in a manufacturing or production facility, and, you know, talking with operations directors or sustainability consultants and, you know, everyone else and redesigning marketing folks. You can see some of the printed packaging supplies we do behind me here. There's just, it would charge me up. Now, am I drained at the end of every day doing that? Absolutely. I feel like I'm putting on a performance all day almost, but I was seeking out that energy of being in front of customers, working with them to develop custom products. So during my time at the software company, I was just like, hey, I need to start my own packaging supply distribution company and do it the right way. So everything that we're trying to do at Centric Packaging is to be more sales friendly and more customer friendly, which is where Centric comes from. We want to be customer centric. We want to be employee centric, and we want to be service centric, right? So that's where that Centric Packaging, that first word of the company comes from. So that was really my thought is going into this, going, hey, I want to do and take everything that I've learned from my packaging experience prior to selling software sales and put them into my own company, do it my own way, and do it how I feel. Is it necessarily better? I don't know, but do it how I feel is better than how other companies are doing it right now. So that's really the origin and why it started.
Yeah, completely makes sense. So in terms of customers, when we talk about the customers, like, what do you think, how do you define your customer segmentation?
Yeah, our customers are really broad. We have everything from automotive to e-commerce clothing. You can see all sorts of, we have whiskey labels here, we have a dishware and utensil company here, we have luxury, you can't really see it on the camera, but we have luxury clothing companies. So the fun part about selling packaging supplies is that a lot of people ship their products everywhere. So we're all over the place, everywhere from food, automotive, to e-commerce, to children's toys, to luxury clothing. So all the way across the board. So really, another fun part of selling packaging supplies is that you can go talk to anyone that ships something in the mail and talk to them about helping them get their products there in one piece, doing it more efficiently, doing it more sustainable, giving their customers a better unboxing experience. So that's really where we play. It's talking to a new person in a new industry almost every day, which is awesome.
Great. So I believe your business is like, your processes are more B2B, where probably you must be selling something to the other businesses. So when you are working with other businesses, in this case, this will be another challenge. Like, how they reach you? Do they reach you via internet, via maybe from your website or social media advertisement? Or they reach you directly, just like in a retail, like they just walk into your shop or the manufacturing space?
Yeah, really all of those ways. So the majority of our business is driven by outbound sales reach out from our end going to the other businesses. Really, given my experience of doing this for 15 years now, it's a lot of organic growth for us. where our contact at company A has gone to company B and said, "Hey, Centric Packaging did such a great job. When I transition to company B, I want you to come in and tell me, the better way to package my products, or the more sustainable way, or the more efficient way." So that's probably 60% of what we're doing is just organic growth, of which is awesome. It makes our life a lot easier. But then the other 40% is outbound. Our sales folks, our business development reps are going out and they are finding companies, and I get leads every day, right? So I have two little kids. I have stuff coming in on my doorstep. And every time something comes in, I go, "Where did this ship from? What can I do to help this? Can I reach out to these people?" So then we go on, we find the folks, we reach out, go, "Hey, just got this package. This is what we would do to help it." And a lot of times we get, "Hey, we haven't had, a lot of attention from other folks in the packaging world. Come talk to us." So, it's really fun. So it really goes both ways. Again, 60% organic, 40% of us outreach. We don't get a ton of, "Hey, inbound, I found your website," or, "I found you on LinkedIn," or, all of the socials we're on, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all of those things now, things that I don't even know how to work. We don't get a ton of inbound. We are working on that medium as far as, outreach through socials and things like that. But that's something that's a challenge for us right now. Going back to what we spoke about earlier, it's just it, that's where we need to grow. That's where we need to focus is generating more of, "Hey, Centric Packaging, we found you, help us." We don't have a lot of that going on right now.
So, do you think that online marketing and your strong presence on social media can drive more traffic, or can maybe increase your revenue? Like, is there any possibility?
It is a possibility. We have an interesting customer base, a really wide range of a demographic. We have everything from VPs of operations who are in their late 50s, early 60s, retirement age, all the way to marketing analysts that want to enhance their unboxing experience, who are just graduated from college and on all of the socials, to where our older VPs of operations don't even know how to send a text message, right? So we have everything in between. I do think as some of our older demographic is retiring now, as far as customers go, we will see more of a revenue stream from inbound social media and, advertising and things like that. But that's really our challenge right now, is just figuring out where our target audience is really looking. So we focus most of our energy on LinkedIn for that reason, right? So our LinkedIn page, other posts, partnering with all of our manufacturing partners and our vendors with joint posts and trade shows, that's where the bulk of our inbound leads and customers come in. But I think if we have this conversation, and hopefully we do, 5 and 10 years from now, we're going to be seeing a much higher percentage coming in from social media. So that's why we're focusing on it now. The packaging industry is an antiquated industry as far as, online accounts go and online inbound leads go. So we're hoping that we will be a little bit ahead of the game when that time comes, when that transition's over.
Yeah, great. So you have a software development company as well, right? So how your software development company is supporting your packaging business?
Sure. So the software development company has been born out of a need from the packaging industry, which is really fun. So Greenlink, being our software company, is really best described as a visual bill of materials for packers. So what we see in the packaging world is that there is a huge seasonality to a lot of our e-commerce customers. So imagine, holiday season, or if you have a candy company around Valentine's Day, or a food company around Thanksgiving, right? So there's a ton of seasonality. So the actual packers and the amount of folks that are on the operational floor at most of these distribution centers fluctuates drastically. So we have some customers that will have 30 full-time employees and then hire 80 temporary employees just for the holiday season, right? So when you think about that, from hiring temporary employees, training them, then also those folks have direct contact with your product And then with their packaging supplies and then the unboxing experience, they're basically building what we call, the billboard that is landing on your doorstep, right? So that's what we think our boxes are. You can see some of them back here for our, one of our favorite customers, Rains. They see this as, their billboard, right? So it is advertising every time that goes out. And if it's sitting on your doorstep in Brooklyn, New York, and somebody walks by, they go, what's Rains? This looks really nice. So anyways, back to Greenlink, you're having these temporary employees place your product in a box. A lot of time there's tissue paper involved. There's a label that needs to be placed in the same way. Tape has to be placed on the box in the perfect way. Or, the shipping label has to be placed there. So it's packaging and it's what a lot of folks forget about. But there's a lot of nuance that goes into that, making sure that something is packaged, A, the right way if it's fragile, B, the correct way if it's going to give your customers a good unboxing experience, and then C, to get it there in the right way, having the shipping label, having the identifiers on it, things like that. So basically what Greenlink does is it gives a visual. Every packing area has a screen on it, and then we can integrate with other warehouse management systems that are already there. It gives a visual instruction base to the packers that are packing those boxes. So we directly with marketing teams, and then we can also have automated workflows that come through. And if they get a new product, they can say, okay, we got this new pen. This is how we're going to pack this pen moving forward. And the marketing team can make sure that that workflow goes down, and they say, hey, this is how you're going to do this. Automatically send it to Greenlink, and then that's automatically going to the packers. So you don't have to worry about that training time, that onboarding time, all of that lost money. The ROI is just, absolutely staggering when you actually implement this software. So again, it's really was born out of necessity, out of some requests from our customers, which has been awesome. So yeah, that's why Greenlink exists, and it's been really fun because we're able to leverage our packaging knowledge in web-based format, and then help our customers not only on the actual tangible side of things, but on the intangible side of things as far as training and their time and efficiency gain. So it's been great.
Yeah, that's great. Obviously, your one company is helping the other company, which is obviously a great thing. So, is there anything else that Greenlinks is doing? Are you facilitating others as well? Your software development company is facilitating other companies as well, or this is just for your packaging company?
No, we're getting into all kinds of things with Greenlink. We're talking to some countertop manufacturers about this. If you can imagine, if you have a slab of granite or quartz or something like that, and you're putting a new countertop all throughout your home, you can have, one piece that goes on the island, one piece that is on the counter area, one piece that's the backsplash, one piece that's, in your bathroom, one that's in the wet bar and, the side, lounge, wherever that is, depending on how large your house is, of course. But one thing that someone approached us with was that there's huge waste because these pieces of granite and quartz and all these other materials, marble, are being cut and basically configured in a location where they have the CNC machines and the milling machines and everything else. Then they're put on a truck and they're delivered to these construction sites. Once they get to the construction site, the installers basically have to guess where these different pieces go. So we are helping them through the manufacturing process, but then also taking our visual BOM, bill of materials being BOM, and I'm stop me when I start talking in too much packaging lingo here, but visual BOM to the installation site with a QR code on each slab that says, hey, this is how you install it, this is how the configuration goes, and this is where you put it in the house. So then we have all of these, back end intangibles that we can help with quality control, waste control. If you're a granite manufacturer, or you're not a granite manufacturer because that's the earth basically, but someone who then adapts this granite into a countertop, once it leaves your facility, you lose all control over it, right? And then you're at the mercy of the contractors putting that in, and they could say, hey, when we got this here, it didn't fit. Meanwhile, they're trying to put it in the wrong place in the house, right? So
Yeah.
we've talked to a lot of folks that have an upwards of $10,000+ a month of waste, and they don't know if it's something that they did wrong on the manufacturing process or if it's something that the contractors are doing wrong on the site. So we have the ability to track that, and it's just like shipping boxes, right? We can take a picture of every single box that goes out the door, and you can say, okay, this box looked perfect when it left our warehouse. But when it, oh, and I have motion sensors in my office, sorry. But then, the box looks perfect when it leaves the warehouse. But then when it goes on the carrier's truck, whether that be UPS, FedEx, US Postal Service, DHL, whatever, and shows up at the customer, it looks like a, crumpled up ball and everything inside of it has been crushed. Same thing goes for the countertops. We have the ability to place liability on the folks who are actually at fault rather than playing the blame game. So it helps maintain relationships with your contractors and your customers, with your vendors, with everyone else. So we're seeing some fun, offshoots of what we initially thought with Greenlink, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Exactly. That's great. That's something really good. So let me know about the software company. Like what technology stack is your software company using? Like build, I believe these are the very specific softwares for specific niche. So have you ever considered about the technology, what technology you're going to use for it?
So our base is AWS, if that's what you're
Yeah,
referring to.
note.
Just so we have, we're running into a situation where we need to be have a real ease of integration with other systems. So we're trying to go with a very common foundational system to build this on, which is why we're building that. So we're finding that we have to integrate, on our side with either a WMS or on the warehousing side, or a configuration software or fabrication software on the manufacturing side of things. So that's really where we've started, and we have some awesome developers here that were early developers in some CRM systems that have just been wonderful in looking 10 years down the road to say, hey, where are we going to build this foundation now so we don't get into a pinch in 4 years when we go to integrate with Salesforce or something we're not thinking about integrating with right now. So they've done an awesome job of, and honestly, things have moved a little bit slower than we initially thought, but it's because we are spending time on the front end, the very early side, to build things the right way so we don't have these issues down the road.
Makes sense. And have you ever thought about using AI in any process?
We have so we work with a company who uses AI to really and the company's called Pacurate, really great company. They are or I'm sorry, not Pacurate, it's IntelliPac. There is Pacurate out there, they're great as well, but they do a little bit of a different thing. So IntelliPac is an AI-based software that will tell you, okay, I have this pen and I have this notepad, and this configuration will fit in this size shipping box. So they're taking everything and they're basically right sizing the boxes for you. So that is really our initial tiptoeing into AI. And then the next level is we're going to very quickly launch a cold chain shipping module. So think of any food that you get delivered and shipping, that all needs to stay a certain temperature. Either it's something that's frozen that needs to stay frozen, or it's something that is frozen that is able to be thawed over a certain amount of time. But we want to make sure that that arrives on your doorstep in the correct temperature without allowing for any spoilage or anything like that. So what we find in the cold chain world is that people pack with a worst case scenario pack. So you'll get a piece of cheese that has 10 pounds of dry ice in it that has a 2-inch thick cooler and is shrink filmed all the way around the outside because they just want to make sure that you are getting that cheese on your doorstep the right way. But in theory, that dry ice should evaporate before it gets to you because it's a hazardous material. And then you also want to make sure that it is keeping your product cool, but you don't want to overpack it, right? Because there's so much spend in those boxes. You know, we've worked on customers where they're spending $50+ a box from a cold chain perspective, just on the packaging supplies. That's not product, that's not shipping, that's nothing. So point being is with Greenlink, we're going to be able to, you know, through AI, I'm having a really hard time establishing what is AI and what is not AI. So we'll see. But we're calling it AI because it's a buzzword, right? So it's AI as far as we're concerned here. But it's basically going to say, hey, when I'm shipping this piece of cheese from New York City to Philadelphia in February, the outside temperature is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, right? So it's basically freezing outside. We can use a very thin liner with a very low amount of coolant. We have the ability to know what the next 3 days or next 4 days of the predicted temperature is. And then we can then intelligently tell the packers how to pack those boxes. So we can immediately say, hey, you know, packer A, use the thinnest liner and the lowest amount of coolant because this is going to Philadelphia in January. Or use the thickest liner and the most coolant because this is going to Arizona in July, right? So that's where it really comes in. So we're kind of, you know, again, ask me in 3 months if it's AI or not, but
Yeah, this is an AI. Indeed, indeed, indeed. This is an AI for sure.
So it's awesome. And again, really what we're trying to do with Greenlink and what we've done so far is just drive tangible ROI to our customers, right? You know, we've all sold something in the past where it's more of a nice to have than a need to have. We want to make sure that with Greenlink that it's a need to have because that ROI is going to be in 3 months if you adopt our system, right? Or it's going to be in 6 months or whatever that is. So that's really our goal. And we're basically finding these little nooks and crannies of where we can help folks be super, super, super tangible and have that or super, super, super you know, quick return on investment of a tangible ROI rather than a, hey, we'll give you time back in your day, or we'll give you this, or we'll give you that. We just want to make sure that it's real hard numbers, which is what we've done so far.
All right. So, Nick, in terms of your short-term goals, like what you are thinking to do within the next 3 to 6 months?
Sure, 2 to 6 months. Really, what we're looking to do is expand our distribution warehouse space, and then build out, you know, for centric packaging, right? So we want to have multiple locations. We're already hunting that real estate. Industrial real estate is way too expensive right now, but it's kind of a necessity for us. So that's probably our next 1 month, 30-day goal, is move into a much larger space. And then for Greenlink, our goal is to have the different modules built out, the cold chain module, the manufacturing module, the visual bomb module, to have all of those kind of individual, not necessarily silos, but the modules built out to where we can go and really pinpoint the market and focus on those markets. Because like I said, right now we're more on a building the foundation level with Greenlink right now. We have a few customers, but now once we have these modules built out and are able to really adapt them quickly, we're going to go pinpoint those markets. So those are the two big goals. You know, Centric Packaging is the more mature company out of the two. And then we want to get Greenlink up to that maturity level here as quickly as possible.
Makes sense. So, Nick, what would be your biggest piece of advice to the ones who are watching this podcast?
You're asking the wrong guy for advice. My only advice would be if you want to go do something on your own, absolutely do it. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Quite frankly, everyone's like, well, aren't you so stressed out? Aren't you worried about revenue all the time? And sure, yes, I am, but I found that my bigger stressor was actually answering to a superior, letting somebody else down. You know, now I'm only letting myself down if something happens, if I don't close that sale or that deal falls through, you know, whatever that is, I'm only letting myself down, and I'm a lot easier on myself than my other bosses have been. So that's my advice is if you want to do it, go do it. You can do it. And I sound like every other cliche entrepreneur, but it really is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Much happier, much better work-life balance. And every morning I wake up and I want to grow two companies. You know, I can't say that I've ever felt that way before.
Makes sense. So, Nick, would you let us know how we can reach you? Like, whoever is watching this podcast, how they can reach you?
Yeah, reach us at www.centric-packaging.com. You can also call 888-404-PACK. Or Greenlink, that's Greenlink.io. You can see our website there. Follow us on LinkedIn. All the handles are the same, at Centric Packaging, at Greenlink, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, of course, X/Twitter, whatever you all want to call it now. Check out our e-commerce site also at centric-packaging, or email me at nick@centric-packaging.com. And we will hope to hear from you all.
Thank you. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for sharing all of these things. I enjoyed the conversation, and really nice to have you in our podcast.
I appreciate the time. It's nice to meet you.
Thanks, Nick. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yep. See ya.